settle in, get comfortable, and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Nick and Sylvie Avery.
Designed to stretch your mind and broaden your understanding about life on Earth, life after death, and life in other dimensions. And this week we'll be having part 7 of our Developing Gifts of Spirit show. And this week we'll be talking more about the differences between mediumship and psychic work. And we'll be discussing the development of psychic work and what that entails. We'll be covering tarot and lots of other things. So if you'd like to join us with a question to Gregory, the phone lines will be open and it's toll-free in the U.S. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-820-8322.
Hello, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's work on bbsradio.com, every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show, which is Spirit Teaching on ArtistFirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific. If you want to know more about us, our books, CDs, book and Akashic reading, have another one of our services, and that can be to do with ghosts, poltergeists, energy, animal health diagnostics, paranormal activity, spirit diagnostics, geophysical stress surveys. We do all of that, all of the above. We also do Akashic readings, both live and recorded for you in different formats, and we can make them available for you to download from the internet, or we'll send you a completed CD, a signed CD of your reading. And these readings, incidentally, are completely unique. I mean, you will not have had anything else like it. You may have heard of Akashic readings, but really, they're not anything like this. And everyone that's had one from us has really been quite over the moon, ecstatic, really, yeah. Loved it, they did. Anyway, all this whole situation is possible because I am a full-body deep trance medium. And as usual, live on every single show, I'll be bringing through our resident spirit expert, Gregory Hay, who will be speaking to you for the entire show. Now, I have to just say, actually, quickly, that this happens because we've made this agreement. We made this agreement 13 years ago now. Happy birthday to you. We made the agreement 13 years ago because that was the situation. We were presented with the situation. We were asked to do the work. And we said, yeah, okay, then, provided you always come out with truthful statements, you know. And this is what we try to bring about in every single show that we do. We don't err on the side of mysticism. We try to bring actual facts and relay real understanding from the spirit world. Anyway, so what actually happens is Gregory will temporarily borrow my physical body, and I won't be aware of anything that happens during the situation. And as Sylvie said, if you've got a question relating to this subject of discussion, please pick up the phone. We'd love to hear from you. And if you don't want to do that and you just want to listen, then that's fine too. I'm going to hand you back to Sylvie now. Have a great show. Bye-bye.
Gregory Hay had an Earth life 300 years ago and has come back to help us with the benefit of his continual education and development in the spirit world. He is proof of the of what is possible, basically, because he was really just, in his words, a peasant boy when he lived here. And he has basically been continuing his education to the extent that he was asked to do this work by the White Cloud Group. So apart from his many other tasks in the spirit world, he has been doing this with us for 13 years. He was asked to be the representative of the group, who consists of many, many great minds who want to help humanity and save our world. There are scientists, doctors, scholars of all description who are all behind the scenes as we speak at every show and every time we do this, wherever. Our aim as the mediums for the group is to bring you truthful information and knowledge through our gifts of spirit to help people enhance their lives and the lives of others, and hopefully restore the balance and the well-being of the planet. So as we said, if you want to know more about us, our website is spirit-teaching.com. And Mick told you about our Akashic readings. Well, we do have some mini free Akashic readings coming up on the 14th of May on this show, and the 17th of May, which is our Thursday afternoon show. We've got one slot left on each show, and then if anybody else gets in touch, then we'll put you in for the next time. We only do our readings like this once a month, because obviously we want people to purchase our full-blown Akashic readings. And I mean, you know, there's no substitute for that, really. You can get 50 minutes, or you can, which you can pay for, 30, 40, or 50 minutes, or you can have a mini-free one. Just a wee snippet of, but I mean, Gregory just packs it in there, and it's not like anything you've ever had before. So if you do want a mini free Akashic reading, do get in touch. I'll need your full name at birth, and that's including your middle names, your date of birth, your telephone number, just in case I lose your email, and one question. And then you can email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com, and I'll get back to you. Okay. So, like I say, if you want to phone us tonight to join in with the topic of conversation, you might want to share some experiences or ask a question. It's entirely up to you, but it's not readings, okay? Anyway, the number to call is in the U.S., 877-876-5227, and Canada is 888-810-8322. Okay, so I do believe Gregory is with us.
With love and light, dear friend, and peace be upon you within your journey of this physical state.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So here we are, part 7. How's that for our developing gifts of spirit, Sher?
Well, yes, there is, of course, such a lot to cover.
Yes. And tonight we thought we'd discuss the differences between mediumship and psychic development, because we really do differentiate more in England between the two things than they tend to do in America, for instance.
Yes, and of course, it all depends upon how one is taught. But if you are really asking the spirit world, those of us who live within the ether world dimension, of that which is pure physical, what is actually also essentially a part of the ether world dynamic, and what is also to do with the spirit state, as opposed to being to do with the messages or the residue that you carry around with you as spirit beings having a physical existence. So that is, you carry things around with you within your auric field, within that element which depicts and holds a pathway of your energy. You may understand this energy in many different forms, but if you are completely and absolutely truthful, what you have to identify is that there is actually a significant difference between that which is pure of the spirit, that is, that you are actually in contact with those on our side of life, or whether you are in fact reading the auric field or the magnetic layer of that which is your physical state and the residual energy which lies around it, coating it in a sense. It is as though you are wearing, a different form of clothing, that you have spiritual clothing which you wear as a human being. And that is a pathway of, partly, I suppose, of what actually carries your physical memory. This is an interesting point, actually, from our perspective, because as a physical being, when you create situations in your life as a physical being, what actually happens is that the residual memory of the physical actions you create and the instances of relationship which have a significant, if you like, a significant bearing upon your life, those situations are left within your auric vibration. Your aura, if you remember, is the original energy which emanates from the twinning of your spirit and physical state. Some people may regard this energy as emanating the form of your soul, which in a sense it is, because of course your soul is how you have built up your emotional field for this lifetime. This emotional field enables you to journey within the spirit world in different dimensions depending upon the vibration index that you have created within the emotional field. How you create a higher vibrational index is, of course, through love. How you create a lower vibration is through negativity and ill will and harm to other beings. Negative thoughts can create this too. What can very often happen within the field of experience for the human condition is that as you create thoughts, as you move through your mind, the life experience as field upon field of journeys are created through every breath you take. The residual energy left over from those memories you create and the very real life experiences you undertake in your life are those which are left in your auric field. If you are then a person who is truly going to seek what we would determine from the spirit world as calling it a psychic reading, a psychic reading in its truest sense is that which already exists and is held within the auric field of your physical state. A psychic reading, therefore, is the reading of your life path. What you have been, as I say, is created through the energy of your memory. If you like, it is a sort of halo of your cell structure and the memory imprinted within it. And your auric field, as you may remember from previous discussions and situations we've brought about upon this program, have been that your memory field creates that which is your auric vibration. The index, the vibration index of which you are, is manifest within your auric field. So when you have a psychic reading, truthfully, what is happening or what should be happening in the relationship of that, is that the person who's reading it is actually picking up things, events, in your aura. These may, as I say, be events which created hurt or pain in your life, they may have been very great and loving memories, fond memories of other beings you shared your life with, and throughout that life family history. It won't, of course, all be detailed there. Some of it might be quite sketchy, but a good psychic reader will be able to pick up a great many of the intricacies of your life experience. If the reader, on the other hand, is developing the situation of spirit contact, then it is a spirit reading. It isn't psychic. It is a spirit reading, which means that you, as a medium, are making contact with those who have passed and who are creating the situation of communication with beings from the spirit world around who have had dealings with your life, who have loved you, who perhaps have figured heavily in who you are now, how you have made up your vibration now, how you have come to be the person you are at this moment, is always due to the sum total of beings you have interacted with throughout your life. Decisions you have taken have helped to shape the being that you are. And, of course, in the sense of, shall we say, that you are as a child, what then if you haven't had that much of a life? Well, then, much of what will be, of course, in your auric field, if you're looking at a psychic reading, will be the situations of your interdependence as a spirit being before you had a physical existence. The situation, however, may develop for any single human being living, having a physical life experience, that you, perhaps, as a reader, as a medium, developing whatever state of practice you have brought about for yourself, or interactivity with spirit that you have created, you will begin to get situations, impressions from those in the spirit world as they gradually begin to make contact with you. And this will be a progressive state. So perhaps then, if you are a being who, shall we say, that you haven't actually sat that much, you haven't actually meditated that much upon the conquests of your spirit development and mediumship skills, but what you have done is interacted with people, and you have been able to tell them situations and things which are actually to do with communication processes from the spirit world. All of this may have actually been put in place without you even lifting a finger of meditation practice. As I said previously, you don't actually have to be a spiritual being to be a medium. You could be anyone. You could be a grave digger. In fact, some of the greatest and most well-loved of famous mediums throughout the history of mediumship were grave diggers. Leslie Flint, for example, who, and we will come to this caller in just a moment, so please do hang on, my friend. The situation is, you see, that for some mediums, they will, as Leslie Flint did, create a most wonderful experience with the spirit world without their actually having to sit for development at all. He never did. And yet, spirits were able to communicate not just through him, but use him as a physical vehicle for their own voices. So it isn't to say that just because you want to create something, that that is going to be what you will create, because spirit very often have different ideas.
Yes, and people can look up Leslie Flint and just go on, just Google Leslie Flint,
yes,
on the internet, and you'll be able to pull him up and read about him. Fascinating man.
Yes.
Okay, hello, caller.
Hi, Sylvie. How are you doing?
Oh, hello, it's John.
Hello, John Friend.
Hi, Gregory.
Hello, Friend.
Hi. I was going to ask about, you know, children and auric fields. I'm still not sure how one develops their auric field. Is it through compassion? Is it through works of mercy? Is it through social interaction? Where's the guidelines for how we develop our auric field?
Good question.
Yes, absolutely so, my dear friend. Well, now, let us say then, from a child's point of view, of course, their auric field is very usually very bright because they have not been tainted with the effects of human physical life. If you remember that with previous discussions, we had said and stated that situations to do with the environment in which a human being interacts very often may have a negative effect upon the human psyche, and also, of course, to do with lowering that person's vibration from their spirit, which means that they actually lose contact with that perfect state of oneness that they had previously perhaps enjoyed as a young person. And so the situation tends to be, well, what then if the child, if you would really dearly like that child to reconnect, to redevelop, the situation would be, of course, that you would actually try to get them to meditate, to take some silent time within their busy little lives so that they could actually create the space to allow those in the spirit world to draw close to them. Just because, however, that you bring a child into the seat of meditation doesn't mean to say that they always have to develop spirit gifts. This may be, obviously, something which the family of the child are opposed to, perhaps for other religious reasons. So it is well understandable that the child actually comes to learn that meditation is in fact not a secular religious state, but is actually there as an a-religious principle. It is something which enables a child to actually just be able to control the mind. It is a form of mind control to help them to gather themselves islands of peace where they can take refuge from time to time. This is why it is so important that children try to develop this skill, and perhaps it may be actually part of the seat and reason as to why there exists such chaos on your side of life at this moment in time. So what if then you have a child perhaps who really, really still sees those in the spirit world and still talks to uncle or grandfather or grandpa or whatever at the bottom of the bed? Well, the thing to do really is to continue to try to encourage that, even if the child isn't yours, but is a friend of the family or something like that. Then it is, of course, most important that they understand that they should not fear. That is the main thing, provided, of course, that the energy is loving. If the situation is that way, then encouragement is needed for them to really to just to talk and communicate. That is the secret with any form of development. So if you are a young being or a being not so young, it doesn't really matter how far along the life plan you are or what really has done before, what you have created before. If you created great negativity and mayhem in your life, doesn't mean to say that you're barred from mediumship, my dear friends. Doesn't mean to say that you are exorcised from having a spiritual evolution. What it means to say is that you've lost it for the moment and you need to get back on path. You need to be able to find the road back to the discovery of the development process which is within you, within every single being on the planet. And how you do this is partly through meditation. You also will perhaps understand that in exactly the same way as we had said previously that a being has to raise their vibration, their auric field, and understand that the well within a self isn't just for you, it's for everyone else as well. That's why there needs to be more love in the world. That is why people need to create and grow that love, not violence, not mayhem, not terrorism, but love. And This is part of the secret of every single being becoming the medium they truly are. That is, because every single being can, in effect, communicate with the spirit world. You just have to learn the principles behind it and understand you each have keys to your own inner sanctuary and your own way, your own individual way of creating that point of contact with the spirit world. It's never too late and never too early to do that.
So with John's question, and I'll hand you back over in a minute, John. So you don't actually develop your aura, you develop your vibration, and that really develops your aura.
So. Yes, absolutely. So don't worry about the aura, dear friends. It may be a little tainted, it may have tea on it, it may have different situations which you have regretted through your life. I'm sure that you do. But the point is that you have to live past those regrets. You have to learn and understand that you have knowledge which was created out of those effects. Doesn't mean to say that you've got to repeat the effects in order to try to gain more knowledge. There's a complete fallacy that people have to go through hard, difficult times in order to create knowledge or wisdom. It isn't a fact. The fact is that people move through hard and difficult times because they make mistakes or because they're ignorant of the truth. And that is why people go through chaos. People go through difficulty because partly, perhaps environmentally, other people have allowed you to do that, or you have allowed yourself to do that. The buck, as they say, stops with you. The principle behind all of this is self-responsibility and understanding that everyone, every single being, no matter whether you're blind, deaf, drunk, or stupid, can change and develop from what you are into what you want to be.
John?
Very, very interesting answer.
I thought you would find that so, friend.
Yes.
Got there in the end, yeah.
Does meditation enhance one the same way as if somebody rescues a building that has 100 people in it and they rescue 100 lives? Can you get as much power as a good meditation?
John, can you say that again but louder and clearer?
Can meditation enhance your auric field the same way, let's say, you save a burning building with 100 people in it? Does it create the same effect on your auric field and on who you are?
Yes. Absolutely so. You see, you would have people perhaps in seats of disaster, in situations, and you may be a witness to that. It may well be that it has some great devastating effect upon you. And, of course, you need a great deal of love and affection and care from beings around you. You may be a being who lived through that, who witnessed it. You may be a being who appears to wander through life like some noble antelope or swan, untouched by any life, untouched by any antagonism. It still means, dear friends, that you will develop, you will benefit if you can see your way past the effects of creating that negativity or that situation. Any being in physical life can transcend what they have been. That is the point.
John?
Okay, interesting. Now, Gregory, you were talking about the importance of communication. How important is the Christ element in terms of universal communication, in terms of all of this?
In terms of universal creation and communication, my dear friend, it is critical in a sense that all beings really learn to meditate in some way or other, or at least have some quiet time where they are away from the antagonism of physical life. Part of the problem that we see with so many beings because they do not communicate is because they don't know truth. they are blind by ignorance, or blinded by what passes off to be truth, or what they are told is truth. And unfortunately, there is so much rubbish, so much misinformation, and incorrect assumption, because many people are not actually coming from the place of unique identity, are not actually coming from, perhaps, the perspective of illuminating what actually is without preconceptions. Part of the distinct lack of information appears to be because there are many, many beings in the spirit world, for example, who have had a physical life, who still think that the way the organization of physical life and the way that the spirit interacts with that physical life is exactly the way that they led it in their own life. And there's nothing that they have done in the spirit world that's convinced them otherwise. Quite simply because they're the wrong vibration to do that. So you would have situations, perhaps, whereby you would have hundreds, thousands, or millions of beings in the spirit world who swear black as blue that reincarnation is a complete and utter fact. That the whole cycle of rebirth and continuation of life and then death and then further rebirth is just this magic roundabout of life, which appears on the surface to not really get anywhere at all. And they would say that because that's what the view that they held when they were in the physical life. Why are they still in the spirit world then if they're not actually supposed to still be there in the first place? If they are intimating that they are reincarnated, well, why are they there? Why are they in the spirit world? Why aren't they in physical earth? The point is, of course, that you will then receive the answer that they're ascended masters or some such. They only claim that because they're the beings who say they are. No one else says they are. It is just like, for example, my friend, you may have a room full of Catholics, and every single one of them completely is convinced, will not hear any other argument toward the fact of Judaism being right, or reincarnation being right, or anything else, that still people who were of a Catholic faith in their physical life still think that way in the spirit world. They don't change. That situation continues. And so just because you have this set of ideals, please don't hang on to them like reckless chains, but actually try to think outside of the box of life. The whole reason, my friends, why it is that science propels humanity forward at all is actually because of people who think outside the box of life. If you don't, you are not going to create something new. You are not going to latch on or understand what truth is. Because your mind, your thoughts, and your reasoning are always going to be tainted by other people's points of view, to which they are entitled to. Communication processes between all beings is possible through the ether world. It is possible for you to be practicing telepathic messaging. Try it. Try sending an image from one person to another. Do it as an experiment. You don't have to already have a preordained gift in order to try this out. You can use it as an experiment, as a live physical experiment. And what you're doing is creating space and leverage between what you had already preconceived as being your life and looking outside of that preconception. Instead of experiencing your familiar surroundings, you are experiencing the true possibilities of what may exist.
Okay, well, thanks, John.
If I could just remind everybody, sage...
You've still got some charge left in your phone, then.
the sage, the smudging with the sage.
Oh, yeah.
I just want to remind you. Okay, thank you very much.
Oh, what about the sage? Okay.
Well, my dear Finn.
He's probably just released the phone. He's listening on...
Yes. Oh, quite so, yes. Well, we shall finish that then.
Yeah.
You want to talk about smudging or something else?
Well, what was it that he wanted to know? How it
You
worked?
Want me to read his mind, Finn?
Yes, do it, yes. Okay, he wanted to know how smudging works, I would think, because
yes,
we understand that. The cleansing of
yes,
the auric field.
Yes,
so.
Yes, and smudging is so very, very important. Yeah. Why use white sage? Quite simply, not just because it smells nice, but actually because it is part of the ancient craft and practice that many indigenous peoples, not just Native American peoples, incidentally, but many others also practiced the state of art of burning particular incense or creating particular smells, which brought about a form of union to begin with that being and their spirit self and others of their ancestry. That is the connection. So what you are doing is, when you are using a sage smudge stick, what you are doing is you are creating a saying, an invocation, which you are using as a part of the process of what you want to communicate with into the spirit world. So you are saying to your ancestors, please protect me. Raise my vibration above and beyond that which is physical, so that I may be protected by those who love and cherish me in the spirit world. You are saying many other things as well, possibly, to do with inciting those energies you wish to protect you. That which is God, Creator, Holy Being. As many native peoples would say, oh, great Holy Being, I give you this. I give this of myself, my body, my spirit, to join in union with you because I ask of you this situation, this protection. This raising of my vibration, this help to cast those out with the truth shields of the light. And when you are doing this, you are moving the sage smoke around your own auric field. And when you are saying this, it isn't necessarily the words that you say, it is your intention of what is behind those words. So when you are creating this unique field of energy through the words and emotion you create within a self state, you are bringing about a unique and sublime connection with your ancestry, those in the spirit world, as I say, who love and cherish you above all others, can be your spirit guides, helpers, second to none. That also will be a part of your cast of invocation.
But it sounds as if it could be anything and not sage in that case. I mean...
Oh, yes. But the point is that I suppose the reason of why using sage, white sage in particular, is because it is a lingering scent which actually manages to permeate everything. It travels very well. It hangs very well. It also has... You see, it isn't just the smoke or the scent or whatever. It is your activity that you are creating around it. Yes, it could be anything else, I suppose. If you tried to burn gorse, it would be too poppy and snappy. Mm-hmm. And it would burst everywhere. Particularly if you had dried it out too quick. A and you'd left seeds within it. The same with other plants as well. So sage is used because it is something which continues to burn. It doesn't go out that easily. And it will give you a very cleansing feel to it. The reason of why it is used as well is because of its white blue smoke. And that is a significant form for you to link with as you are creating links with the light. And that is why you were doing it.
So you're having your auric field cleansed, your aura cleansed.
Yes.
If you're smudging yourself, for instance.
Yes.
By your guides, helpers.
Yes, and also by your physical activity. Do not forget, my friend, you would be rotating the smudge stick around you spirally, first of all moving down to the feet, and then coming all the way back up again to the tip of your head. Around and around and around in a spiral. And as you would do this, you would say your invocation, repeating it. Mm. And this, in a sense, is changing your auric identity. It is connecting your energy within your auric field to your spirit and raising your vibration, because you are in communion with the spirit world, with your ancient provider, if you like, with Creator. You are a part of that which God is.
So has it got anything at all to do with the fact that negative spirits don't like sage, the smell?
Don't like the smell or
whatever?
No.
There's nothing to do with
nothing
that.
Nothing whatsoever. Nothing whatsoever at all.
Right.
No.
Okay.
You don't have spirit beings who are extremely negative, cringing away as soon as you light the smudge stick.
Mm.
Oh, I can't stand that smell. I'm off. Not at all, because if they are negatively possessed, they will try to alter that vibration of you as a physical being and as you as a physical being linking with your spirit. They will try to stop that link with your spirit. That is what negative energy does. Lowers your vibration. So you cannot link with your spirit. That is why part of the act of repair is not just the invocation and getting that person to actually sound the invocation within themselves, but is also instrumental in bringing about the sound evolution of your emotion, which ties you to your back to your spirit and allows your vibration to lift because of that contact. That's what you're creating. It's the contact. You could be waving around a wand, or call it that, but it could actually be just a twig, if that's what you want to do. You may even use a crystal and pass that around about you and cite that as being something which will cleanse your auric field. But the point is that if you use a smudge stick, it is something which is more physical, more permeating. And you actually are wafting that with your hand. You are flowing it around and about you. Otherwise, you could do the same thing just by waving and fanning your hand. If that's what you want to do, if you really feel that you'll be able to cover yourself completely by doing that. The point of using a smudge stick is that you can see the smoke when you're doing it, and you can see whether you are covering every bit of you or not.
And when you're doing the house, make sure you turn the fire alarm off.
Oh, please do make sure that you turn off the fire alarm, yes. And don't forget to turn it back on again when you finish.
Absolutely.
And open all the windows.
Yeah.
Particularly upstairs if you have more than one level, if you live on more than one level, or you are visiting a house that is on more than one level.
That's funny, yeah. They don't like the smoke. Anyway, you're
yes,
listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay, being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're discussing just about everything, actually.
the world in its dustbin.
Absolutely. We've completely gone off topic, and it really doesn't matter.
If it's
something that you're interested in knowing about, then do get in touch. In the U.S., it's toll-free, 877-876-5227. Canada, 888-810-8322. Well, I have no idea where to go from here now. We were originally talking about psychic development and mediumship development.
Yes.
And the crossover between the two.
Yes, well, so as I was saying, my dear friend.
And we've got about 8 minutes left.
Yes,
like that.
Quite so. So as I was saying, these had been then the differences between your psychic connection and what that really means and your spirit development. If you really truly want to develop your spirit development, it doesn't mean to say that you have to sit to meditate. You don't have to do all of that. It may well be that you develop your communication skills through interactivity with other human beings, perhaps being compassionate toward them, perhaps saying those things which come to you as though they are not of your own mind. I don't mean to say that you start to be, in a sense, creating negative things or whatever, but what you would be doing is you would be perhaps, suddenly, briefly, you would maybe have some form of connection when you are first introduced to someone, perhaps. You may voice certain connections that you have, tentative though they may be. They are really just ways in which the spirit world tries to get you to work. And that, so you may say, oh yes, I understand, so perhaps you would inquire as to the person's parents or grandparents, or perhaps discuss how they were in their physical life. It helps you to create the picture that you may already have been given in your mind by those beings in the spirit world who are trying to help you and communicate with you. And it would be interesting, therefore, for you to continue this process, and perhaps maybe you would have communication of a sort with someone about a loved one, perhaps, who had passed, or friend, or whatever, and you may actually identify certain aspects of how they passed, or something like that. Of course, you won't necessarily want to bring that out straight away. Perhaps for a first few times, you would want to just silently acknowledge them, not necessarily communicating to your friend about these facts and facets, but just waiting until the story unfolds so that they can be verified to you yourself. And in that way, this is something that you just build up the energy. It may be, of course, that in developing your spirit gifts, that it is something to do with mediumship healing in some way. This could be a process of development. Perhaps you are also already a Reiki healer or something like that, some other magnetic form of healing, or perhaps in some other way you are creating a healing ability, a bridge between yourself and the spirit world. You may not, of course, acknowledge that it's the spirit world at all. You may actually say, in just the same way as many do, that you are really just connecting with the creative force of all life or magnetic energy. And if that's what you think, that is quite all right to do that. And I'm not saying that radiomagnetic energy does not exist. It does. And many human beings can connect to this. It is a little like, I suppose, people connecting with ley line activity and that kind of thing. What they're actually doing is creating an access to the universal energy which flows all around and through the planet, different places of it, and connecting with that synergy which actually enables the being, you the being, to perhaps bring forms of healing, energy, understanding, compassion, raising the loving awareness within a self, which also helps to stabilize that vibration and helps you as a healer to transcend that which you were, had been, way of thought that you created yesterday or the day before, and that helps you to move forward in your line of thinking and your alignment of your physical state with your spirit, therefore blending far easier, more easily, with those who are working with you. Of course, all of this may be something which will be more difficult to transition and develop from that which it is now, unless you put in the effort to do it and create it and work with it and work with those who want to work with you. That's the point, really. You need to work with those who want to work with you. Learn who they are. And it doesn't matter if you make mistakes. It doesn't matter. Who's going to judge you? You will judge yourself. You will know if you make mistakes, just like you do in your own physical life now. You know when you have lied. You know when you have not found truth. And you know when you have. You know what sits right with you. So you may want to disregard everything I have said and say, no, reincarnation is a fact. So be it. Live with that, if that's what you wish to do. Live with it if you and your world revolves around Catholicism. Who am I to judge you? I do not judge you. I am merely pointing out a fact, a fait accompli, that human beings are within the structure and reasoning of the material mind. That is, people are created by their own direction, by their own train of thought. Their will of purpose is depicted purely and simply by the way in which you as a being are motivated through life. And what creates that motivation and well-being? Those thoughts and feelings that you create within a self, or that are told to you, that you take on board hook, line, and sinker. Complete. And for you, that is held as a truth of highest esteem. I'm not here to burst your bubble of God. I am here to create a bubble of truth in the hope that it may surround you with love, with the loving intention of which I give it. For what I give to you is to ask you to step outside of your world and create a different form of relationship with it. Because up to now, the reason why humanity is in the mess it's in is because of lack of duty of care. It's because of lack of personal responsibility. It's because of blinkeredness and black and white. And not allowing the creation, the true creation of understanding what truths may be, are not necessarily born of the mind, but are there for you outside of your reason of responsibility. That doesn't mean to say that negative forces out there are there just waiting to pluck you from obscurity of your own life and immerse you into their sticky world. What it does mean, however, is that you have to protect yourself within every step you take. Just in exactly the same way as when you learn to drive a car, a vehicle of some sort, you have to take a test for it. You have to learn how to drive it. And in this physical life, if you are really wanting to create the spatial awareness of your physical life and spirit, you need to learn to make that connection with all possibility and fruit for your life. For love is what really matters.
Well, thank you, Gregory. That's great. We've come to time, I'm afraid. And next week, we will be talking about the tarot cards and the runes, psychometry and that sort of thing, and how we actually know whether we are picking something up psychically or if we're getting it from our guides or a loved one or something. How do we know the difference?
Yes.
You know, and all that.
Absolutely
sort of
so.
Okay.
Yes. Very well then. With love and light, and blessed be your pathway. D. dear friends into the light. With love, we leave you.
Thank you. Yes, so, once again, if you want a mini free Akashic reading, we are doing them again on the 14th of May and the 17th of May. That's the Monday night and the Thursday afternoon. I would need your full name at birth, including middle names, date of birth, telephone number, one question, and email that to enq@spirit-teaching.com. Do go to our website, which is spirit-teaching.com, and you can find out more about our proper Akashic readings and any other service or our CDs, books, or whatever. Anything you would like to know about us is on there. So we hope you've enjoyed the show. My name is Sylvie Avery, and thank you for listening to Spirit's Work. And until next time, be peaceful, be positive, and focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.